WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Well, thanks again for that great intro, Brannon. You must be getting tired of doing it every day like that. But great to see everybody. It's Trevor Loudon here from Enemies Within. And today I'm going to talk about some characters in my book, Security Risk Senators, Parts 1 and Part 2. Just who are some of the communist senators in your state? So we'll just go to a short message, then we'll be back after the break. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Brannon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show, and I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took two volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within, this is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020, that's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Brannon, for that great introduction and sales pitch there. I hope people will go to the website. Now, one thing I want to say today is I'm going to be having quite a few interviews on in the upcoming days and weeks. But another thing, a service I think I'd like to offer is that if people have questions that they'd like to direct to me, like who are the communists in Nebraska? Who's the most left-wing senator in Idaho? What is CARE and ISNA and ICNA doing in Nevada? What is happening in Canada? What is happening in the United States? In the United Kingdom, you know, there's a big wave of communist-inspired strikes on there now. What's happening now that Jacinda Ardern is no longer the Prime Minister of New Zealand, but the almost equally radical Chris Hipkins is? So if you want to ask me questions, no relationship questions, please. Just geopolitical questions, questions on the history of communism, the history of subversion, maybe the history of Barack Obama, maybe the history of Hillary Clinton, maybe the history of Joe Biden. Anything you can think of along those lines, I'll take a look at. So if you want to ask me questions, either go to trevor.newzeal@gmail.com. So that's Trevor, T-R-E-V-O-R, trevor.newzeal@gmail.com. Or trevor.newzeal@gmail.com, or just go to Facebook, Trevor Loudon. Just look up Trevor Loudon on Facebook, send me a direct message, ask your question, and I'll put it on a list, and I'll get to it. As long as it's, I'll get to it. I'm pretty much up for any question you can ask. I may not know the answer, but I'll do my best to find out. So that's what I'm offering. I want to make the show as interactive as possible. I want to bring some great interviews on. We're in a crisis situation here, both internally in America and on the world stage. We could be in World War III tomorrow, or in 10 years of time, we could look back in this and say, wow, that was close. That was so close, but we made it through by the grace of God and the discipline and the forbearance of a lot of people. We made it through into a new era of prosperity and freedom. That's what I'm hoping to have happen. So, sorry about that. Now, my books, I've talked about this before with Brannon. I've shown you these books before. Security Risk Senators, Part 1 and Part 2. Now, each part is almost 400 pages. Each part has got almost 50 pages of notes, plus a lot of graphics, a lot of photographs. I think a picture is worth 1,000 words. It's a lot better. You know, you can say, well, that man's a communist. But if you see that man speaking in front of a hammer and sickle, a picture of it, it's a lot more real, is it not? So why did I write these books? Why should you get them? Excuse me, I'm very bad mannered today. I wrote the books because very few Americans really understand the depth of communist penetration of the Democratic Party. You know, we talk about the deep state, and we look at that. We look at the weaponization of the IRS and the Justice Department, and that's people are focused on that. And they understand that to a degree. But here's a little pitch. If you really want to understand the deep state, get Diana West's great book, Red Thread. And that shows the communist backgrounds of many leading members of the anti-Trump conspiracy. So the deep state is essentially communist. It's Marxist. The deep state comes out of Russian, pro-Russian, pro-Soviet actors. I'm sure there's Chinese connections as well, but the deep state is essentially communist. But the deep state is essentially communist. But if you look at your government, so the communists have infiltrated the government departments, the government sectors. They're in the State Department, they're in the Justice Department, they're in the Defense Department, they're in the Education Department in spades, they're in the Transportation Department, they're in all of these government departments. They're also in the executive branch. You know, most of the people around Biden has a communist background himself, so does Kamala Harris, a deep Maoist is Kamala Harris, and most of Biden's cabinet. So you've got those two branches. You've got the administrative state that's heavily infiltrated. You've got the executive branch that's heavily infiltrated. You've got the judiciary that is heavily infiltrated, the Justice Department, the legal profession, the National Lawyers Guild, which is a pro-communist organization, has been putting hundreds of lawyers into your courts over the last few years, which is making it very hard to get real justice in this country. But the legislative branches, the Congress and the Senate. So if you were an enemy of America, wouldn't you go for those branches that actually make law, pass law? The Congress makes law, the Senate ratifies those laws, and the Senate deals with foreign engagements. It deals with treaties. It deals with agreements with foreign countries. And if you were a big actor on the world stage like Vladimir Putin or the leaders, the Ayatollahs of Iran, or Xi Jinping and the Communist Party of China, wouldn't you want to have influence in the U.S. Senate? Wouldn't that be a place? Because that's where the treaties are made. That's where international agreements are made. That's where, you know, who signs us up to the World Health Organization and things like this. So you'd want people inside the Senate, right? But surely that couldn't happen because we have the FBI and we have other intelligence agencies that are supposed to be protecting America from these bad guys. Well, we know that the deep state is communist, and we know that both the CIA and the FBI and several other intelligence agencies are also heavily penetrated. So we've got a problem. Not only is nobody watching out for us, nobody's guarding us from these people, but in actual fact, those who should be guarding us are now coming after us. And the only people that can stop them really are the Congress that can cut off the money, the Senate can pass congressional legislation, and the president can do the right thing and sign it off. But the president is part of the problem right now. Joe Biden is working for the other team. He always has been. You know, I was talking to my good friend Jeff Nyquist the other night, and Joe Biden went to Moscow in 1979. He went many times, and he had meetings over there with some of the top Soviet leaders. And before he went, he criticized the Russian, the Soviet human rights situation, you know, their abuse of psychiatry to suppress dissidents, their imprisoning people in gulags, all of that. And when he got there, he basically said to all of these communist officials, don't worry, look, I don't want to offend you guys. I'm sorry, I had to say that about human rights. This is for consumption back in America. I don't care. I don't care what you do with your dissidents. You're fine. I'm all about what you want to do. I just have to say this for the Americans. Well, how do we know this? Because a man called Vladimir Bukovsky, who was a very famous Soviet dissident, who was interned in psychiatric hospitals for many years, he's as sane as the day is long, but he was put in the psychiatric hospital because he was very critical of the communist regime. But he eventually got out. He went to Britain. And after the so-called fake, well, I call it the fake collapse of communism, he went back to Moscow and was allowed to go through his top government files, Communist Party files. And the communist library authorities apparently didn't know about scanners and cameras. So they let him peruse all these documents, and he copied thousands of them. And he smuggled them back out to the United Kingdom, Britain, where he was living. And one of these was a report by a top Soviet official of their meeting with Joe Biden, where he assured them that he didn't care about human rights, that he only criticized the Soviet Union because it was expected of him, to give him cover for going there all the time, and that really, you communists can just do what you like with those people. I don't care. That's the president of the United States. That's the attitude of your currently serving president. So the senators. So let's start with Georgia. We've got Mr. John Ossoff of Georgia. We've got Raphael Warnock. Neither of them should be in the government right now. And they're in the government because a lot of Georgia conservatives understood that Mitch McConnell and others weren't doing anything about the elections. So when it came time to vote Republican in those Senate races, thousands of Georgia conservatives stayed home in disgust. Well, I can understand that. I can. You know, the Brian Kemp wasn't doing anything. Brad Raffensperger was a problem. And Mitch McConnell certainly wasn't doing anything. So you showed him, right? You taught him a lesson. Now you got two communist senators to live with for the next 6 years. Great. Perfect. So John Ossoff, very heavily involved with Democratic Socialists of America. Deep deep connections to DSA. They helped get him elected. He worked with their people. DSA is a Marxist communist organization, by the way. And the very first, he worked with Our Revolution. He worked with the Council for a Livable World, which was also set up by a man called Leo Szilard, a Soviet agent, set up a PAC in America called the Council for a Livable World to elect senators who had worked to gut the U.S. military. They've elected over 200 of them now, including 40 of the current Democratic delegation. And their job has always been to vote to destroy the U.S. military. And we're seeing that now with their vaccine mandates, their political correctness. Biden wants to cut our nuclear weapons, cut our Navy ship numbers when Russia and China are getting ready for war. But Biden was one of the first recruits of the Council for a Livable World. He put five of their staff into top positions in the Department of Defense, the State Department, and the National Security Council. It's one of his first acts of office. But John Ossoff is very heavily involved with this Council for a Livable World, very heavily involved with Democratic Socialists of America. So one of the first things he did when he got elected, well, part of his campaign, he spent a lot of time campaigning with a man called Daniel Blackman. I think he was Blackman was standing for auditor or something like that, some position in Georgia. And so they were often on the campaign trail together. They shared the same hustings together. They worked very closely. And the first thing that Ossoff did when he was elected was prevail on Joe Biden to appoint Daniel Blackman to the head of the Environmental Protection Agency for all of the Southeast. That's Georgia, the Carolinas, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, right down. The whole Southeast is now, the EPA is controlled by one man, Daniel Blackman, who is a card-carrying Marxist, a member of Democratic Socialists of America. So now he has the power to use the Environmental Protection Agency to harass businesses in a sixth of the United States, thanks to John Ossoff. Now, the other man, the other senator, Raphael Warnock, great man of God, of course. He headed the Baptist church that Martin Luther King was the head of for many years. And we'll talk about Martin Luther King some other time, shall we? He's not the man you think he is, put it that way. But Raphael Warnock started out his career at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, New York. Very famous church, the black church, Abyssinian Baptists. Now, the Reverend, for many years, and the man who mentored Raphael Warnock was a man called Calvin Butts. Sorry, I've just got irritations today. Man called Calvin Butts. Now, Calvin Butts was a big fan of Fidel Castro, invited Fidel Castro to his church, called him a great revolutionary. Raphael Warnock was a youth pastor at the time. But going back a few years, Calvin Butts, before he got into the church, was a young student radical in 1968 in Atlanta, Georgia. And Martin Luther King was shot. And that night, Raphael Warnock and his communist friends, they had a little communist group called Pride, they were watching the movie, the Western movie, Shane. And when they heard that Martin Luther King had died, they immediately went and found their stash of, dug up their stash of Molotov cocktails. You know, bottles full of gasoline with a fuse that you throw and start fires with. Those weapons, the favorite weapon of rioters all over the world. So they already had these Molotov cocktails made. They just had to go and retrieve them. And they went out on the town and they tried to burn down a church. They burnt down several businesses and they pulled white motorists out of their cars and beat them up. This is Calvin Butts, the great man of God. So then he gets into the Ebenezer Church. He worships Fidel Castro. I've got a photograph. He was very close friends with Ozzie Davis, the actor, very deep friend of the Communist Party for many, many years. And I've got a photograph of Raphael Warnock in the Ebenezer Baptist Church with Ozzie Davis, the communist. And there's a couple of other people from the church there, a couple of, you know, parishioners. And here, the caption of the photograph written by Warnock is, "Here am I with Ozzie Davis and some of my church comrades." Comrades, how many Christians do you know that call the people who go to their church, that go to church with them, comrades? That might give you an idea of what this church was all about. In 1984, the other man that Raphael Warnock was mentored by was a man called James Cone. He's an academic. He wrote the book Marxism and the Black Church: What Do They Have to Say to Each Other? He was one of the fathers of Black liberation theology in this country. That is the sort of Marxism with a Black Christian veneer on top that has spread all through church, Black churches all over this country. And in 1984, James Cone, Calvin Butts, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Obama's future pastor, and the famous Jesse Jackson and several other communists went to Cuba for meetings with Fidel Castro and Cuban church organizations and Soviet church organizations, the International Peace, the Christian Peace Conference, a Soviet front, the Cuban Council of Churches, a communist front. They had meetings with these people. So there's, you see the tie-up to Obama, you see the tie-up to Black liberation theology, and you see the tie-up to Raphael Warnock. So when Warnock comes to Atlanta, he starts working with Democratic Socialists of America very, very closely. He works with a lot of the old Maoists from the 60s, like Nan Oreck, who's now a Georgia state senator. She was part of the October League, a pro-Chinese communist group back in the 70s, now involved with Democratic Socialists of America. So Raphael Warnock is working with these people, hardcore Marxists. He got arrested a few years ago with Reverend Barber of the Moral Majority. Reverend Barber from North Carolina did these big Moral Majority marches all over the country. Now he's running the Poor People's Campaign, which is a front for the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, which used to be called the Communist Labor Party. This man, I've forgotten his name now, the Moral Majority people, Reverend Barber, has several Maoists from the Communist Workers' Party in line of march in his institution. Look, the communists use religion all the time, people. A lot of church organizations are heavily penetrated by communists. And so Raphael Warnock got arrested when people from the Moral Majority tried to, I think they invaded the office of the Georgia Secretary of State at the time. And Raphael Warnock was one of the several who were arrested, all communists, all Marxists. And so then Reverend Warnock got very heavily involved with Stacey Abrams. You've all heard of Stacey Abrams, even if you don't live in Georgia. She thinks she's the governor of Georgia. And she's a hardcore Marxist. She's been around for a long time, worked in the radical student movements of the 1980s. And so Warnock and Stacey Abrams and a woman called Lauren Grow, who used to be the head of New York ACORN. Now, ACORN, the famous vote fraud organization that was exposed in the early days of the Obama administration, that Obama was very close to, they set up the New Georgia Project. So ex-ACORN, Raphael Warnock, Stacey Abrams, a Marxist, set up this voter registration organization called the New Georgia Project. And this predicted massive voter registration amongst the Black and Latino and poor white communities of Georgia, the natural Democrats who don't normally vote in big numbers. So that's the new left-wing strategy in the South, is to go into the South and basically sign up huge numbers of Blacks and Latinos to flip the southern states, because the communists know if they can flip two or three more states in the South, that's the end of the Republican Party. There will never be another Republican president in American history. So Raphael Warnock is a big part of this movement. Stacey Abrams almost got elected to the Georgia governorship, running on with their backing, and didn't do quite so well this second time around. But Raphael Warnock won completely on the back of the New Georgia Project. So a Marxist-controlled organization elected Raphael Warnock, and of course helped elect John Ossoff as well, and several other politicians all around your state, from school board to county commission level. So Georgia is heavily targeted by the communists because it's a pivotal southern state. You know, so this is how the communists work. They know they want to have a permanent Democratic majority, because the Democrats are infiltrated by the communists and work with the communists. They don't want Republicans, even weak and wishy Republicans. So they do massive voter registration drives in southern states for Democratic candidates, and use racial minorities to get across the line. That is why this kind of network is why North Carolina has a Democrat governor, why deep red Kentucky has a Democrat governor, why Georgia has two Marxist senators, and why Arizona has two far left senators as well, the deep red state. And it's also the reason why Tennessee is just starting to edge towards the left in the Memphis area and other areas. So there's a big network, and Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff are part of this. Georgia has two Marxist senators. And the people of Georgia, the good conservatives of Georgia, need to get over themselves. If you didn't get out and vote because you didn't like Herschel Walker, because Herschel Walker had a few blots in his character, you got to understand you elected a communist. That's what you did. So Herschel Walker might not have been perfect, but he wasn't a communist. And now you have a communist for 6 years. If you didn't get out and vote when you could have stopped John Ossoff, and you could have, you have another Marxist senator in your state for 6 years, and you think of the people they're going to help to appoint. You think of the money they're going to steer into left-wing organizations for 6 years. Georgia may not survive this. Georgia may turn completely blue in a few years' time. They're using the demographics, the big South Asian populations that are moving into the northern Atlanta suburbs. They're using the growing Latino populations that are in the country districts all over Georgia. The communists are going out there and signing them up to vote, because if they can flip Georgia blue, they only need to get one or two more states in the South, then that's it. It's all over. So please take your vote seriously. We're in a communist revolution. You gotta vote when you can. Now, this is my argument. You know, people say, well, I don't want to vote for him because he's a moral whatever. He's a rhino. Yep, I get it. Absolutely. But we don't have that luxury. This is my moral argument. In the primary, you get to choose the best conservative candidate to represent you. If you don't do your job there, you've only got one choice after that. In the general, you get to vote against communism. That's it. You don't get to vote for a great candidate, but you do get to vote against a communist. And I think that is not too bad and everybody should be doing it. I hope you agree. So please, I hope you found this interesting. I hope you go to my website, trevorloudon.com. I hope you get copies of Security Risk Senators. I'll be talking more about them in the future. And I hope you'll go to Trevor, to my email me, or go to my Facebook page, Trevor Loudon, to put any questions that you may have in there for me to answer in future shows. So thanks very much. God bless America. God bless all of you. And we'll see you tomorrow.